Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Let it go. Let it go. I am one with the wind and sky.
This is KFI AM 640. Bill Handel here in the morning crew. It's a Friday, October 15th. Coming up in half an hour, it's Foodie Friday with Neil Saavedra, our Fork reporter. And I always enjoy ending the week with Neil. One of our better segments, my opinion. Now, urban myths. I've always enjoyed urban myths. One of them is the woman with a pet poodle drying the poodle in the microwave oven? Probably not. Richard Gere and the gerbil? Maybe. I don't know if that's true or not. And Ted Williams being frozen? Absolutely true. And Walt Disney. This is one of the big urban myths. Did Walt Disney freeze himself after his death in 1966? And that one just keeps on going and going. And if you look at any group, let's say you get 30, 40 people or take a survey, you'll see someone in there inevitably who says, yep, his body, maybe his head only, are in a deep freeze in a cryogenic container and will be thawed out when technology is advanced enough that the ailments would be cured, and he's restored back to full health. I particularly like the ones where just the head is frozen. And where do they attach it to, let's say, 300, 400 years from now? A big dog walks around with a human head? I don't know. Now, how did the idea of a frozen Walt Disney become this urban legend? Well, it started after he died in 1966. So this is according to PBS, their story on this. In early 1967, a few weeks after his death, a reporter for a tabloid newspaper called The National Spotlight claimed that he snuck into St. Joseph's Hospital in Burbank. I mean, literally, you walk there from here where St. Joe's is, and it's right across the street from Disney, where the studios are, and where his office was. And he went there as Walt Disney was dying, and he disguised himself as an orderly. He broke into a storage room, actually went in there right after he died, and he saw Disney suspended in a cryogenic metal container. Now, how do you see someone inside of a metal container? That is a problem right there. And then according to PBS, the legends just went crazy. Newspapers around the world picking up that reporter's account. And eventually people decided, this is part of the myth, that rather than be at the cryogenics facility and risk exposure, Disney opted to be stored at Disneyland right underneath the Pirates of the Caribbean ride. And there, these rumors were so widespread. Two biographies of Disney, one published in 1986, one published in 1993, actually hinted that the rumors could be true. Both of the biographies, you said they had inside sources. That's in quotes at Disney. And now we're looking at, maybe not. First of all, the National Spotlight, right? The tabloid newspaper. The problem is it doesn't exist. Research into major newspaper archives, there ain't none. And so that becomes a little bit of a problem. And there's no evidence that Walt Disney himself even knew anything about cryonics or wanted to be frozen at all. And then you have Disney family members who say, that's not happening. We don't have him in an ice cube tray in the freezer, Abigail Disney said. On CBS this morning as a daughter. No, not frozen. Was at the funeral. Remember it well. No, not frozen. And then there is the fact that Disney is interred in Forest Lawn Cemetery in Glendale, just down the freeway. 5 minutes to get there by driving from here. Now, there is a Disney Family Memorial Garden, you know, where the Disney family, you buy these memorial gardens and throw everybody in there, hugely expensive. And he was cremated, so there's no clear indication of where he is in the plot. Though, there is a very curious fact that one of his daughters, Sharon Disney Brown Lund is actually her full name, has a message on her nameplate that says that ashes are scattered in paradise. What does that mean? Does that mean that hers are elsewhere too? And this is 55 years after Walt Disney died. And he actually, well, he didn't add the fuel to the fire, but you can spin what he said. He was a sci-fi nerd. He was obsessed with technological advances that the future would bring. At the time of his death, he was working on plans for the Epcot, which is all about the future, the experimental prototype community of tomorrow. I remember that. I actually remember the TV show where he unveiled Epcot. And then there was a time for a period of time where if you went on the People Mover, which they got rid of because some kid got caught up in the wheels and was crushed to death, unfortunately. You would go past on the People Mover. There was a large window. You're looking into a room which had a model of Epcot in there. So the question is, were cryonics part of the future technology he was studying because he was such a future freak? And then here's another issue. A guy by the name of Dr. James Bedford died in Glendale less than a month after Walt Disney died in Burbank, in the two cities right next to each other. And according to Mental Floss, don't know what that is, Bedford's body is still frozen and in good shape. Right. Now, the closest thing we have to hard evidence, I mean the closest, is from Bob Nelson, a former president of the LA-based Cryonic Society of California. He gave a 1972 interview to the LA Times saying that Disney wanted to be frozen. And in 2013, there was an interview with him where the reporter asked what is going on? And what he said, the former president of the Cryonics organization said, "We got a call from Walt Disney Studios asking us how many people had been frozen, what kind of facilities we had, who the medical staff was." And this phone call was from a very brilliant individual and was checking all the bases. Okay. And then how about his final message to his Imagineers, the people that create the rides, et cetera, at Disneyland and Disney World? He was seated at his desk, just like he was at when he was on the television show airing each Sunday evening. And CBS reports a smiling Walt appeared to make laser beam eye contact with each colleague and told them that what he expected of their performance in the future, here's what I want you to do, and he hoped to see them soon. And he was dying at the time, and this was his last meeting. So why would a sick man say he hoped to see them soon? And then there are some viral stories. One of them, September 15th this year, the Daily News Report published an article that said that Walt Disney's frozen body was going to be thawed in December of this year to mark the 55th anniversary of his passing. Yeah, and then that's how you do a celebration of someone's life after he died and gets frozen. You thaw him at an anniversary date. Here's the problem. The Daily News, it's a satirical news site, but thousands of people picked it up. Welcome to the internet. And I'll tell you who really is frozen. Ted Williams, the baseball great. He famously wrote his last wishes on a cocktail napkin, which was held up in a legal battle after his death. But he remains frozen. Now, originally, it was just his head that we talked about. But I think his entire body is frozen. And he's going to come back in 200 years. Go figure. Since it's Halloween coming up, I thought I'd share with you the story of Dracula and where it came from. And this is a Handel history. This is kind of interesting. And it's not Vlad the Impaler. No, it goes way deeper than that. I'll finish that up before we get to Foodie Friday with Neil Saavedra at 9:30. This is KFI AM 640. Let's check in with Chris Little in the News Center.
Everyone at this party's a vampire.
And good morning. Handel in the Morning Crew here on KFI. Friday, October 15th. The big news, Dodgers win last night and advance to the National League Championship Series, a 2-win over the Giants. It was a tremendous game. It's been a tremendous series after a tremendous season. And if the Dodgers repeat what they did last year, you're going to see celebrations like crazy. And former President Bill Clinton is at UC Irvine Medical Center, the ICU, a urinary tract infection, which then went into sepsis, which can be very, very dangerous unless you catch it fairly early, which they did. He's going to be fine. Halloween coming up. And, of course, how many kids are going to be dressed as Dracula? And when you think of Dracula in the history, the first thing that comes to mind is Vlad the Impaler. No, it really isn't. There's a guy by the name of Stanley Stepanek, who is a historian. And he has actually spent a great deal of time looking into the whole history of Dracula. And he's written about it. There's an article that he wrote, and he talked about the real history. And it's a little convoluted. There are some questions. There are holes in it. But for the most part, this is history. I mean, this is the real deal. This is not Bela Lugosi. I want to drink your blood. The vampire of today is really removed from where vampires really started in Eastern European folklore. The first known reference to vampires actually appears in written form in Old Russia as far back as 1047. So we're talking 1,000 years ago, and that was right after the Orthodox Christianity moved into Eastern Europe. The term for vampire was upir, and no one really knows what it is. Maybe the literal meaning was thing at the feast or sacrifice, referring to a dangerous spiritual entity that people believe could appear at rituals. And incidentally, that philosophy is throughout the entire world. And it's believed that was a euphemism to avoid the real name, of which no one knows the real name. But I'll tell you what it has to do with. According to Professor Stepanek, professor of Slavic studies who has looked at vampires, it really is all about diseases. That's really what it's about. And we're talking about a couple of diseases that history gives us. Two particular solid links. One is rabies. And rabies is one of the oldest recognized diseases on the planet. And it's spread through biting, which is a classic vampire trait. Other connections. One of the central symptoms of rabies is hydrophobia, a fear of water. Muscle contractions in the esophagus. So rabies victims avoid eating and drinking or even swallowing their own saliva, which eventually causes foaming at the mouth. And in some of the folklore, vampires cannot cross running water because, remember, rabies victims are afraid of water. And rabies, another symptom, is being afraid of light. That is one, that's what people go through. So fear of water, fear of light. Now, the second disease is pellagra, and it's a dietary deficiency. And it's caused by diets high in corn products and alcohol. So after the Europeans landed in the Americas, they brought corn back to Europe, but they ignored a real key step in preparing corn, washing it, usually in lime. And that reduces the risk of pellagra. So now we have pellagra in Europe, and it's diarrhea, dementia, death. It's a pretty serious disease, but it causes sufferers to experience high sensitivity to sunlight. It really, according to this historian, says it really is about diseases. Kind of bizarre, isn't it? And when you think of the great vampire epidemic starting 1725 to 1755, it was actually vampire hysteria. These diseases spread through Eastern Europe, and who gets blamed? Supernatural causes. And that's what started vampire hysteria. And then you had the belief that vampires were the undead. So it was a perfect storm in Eastern Europe at the time. The era of this epidemic, the great vampire epidemic, but wasn't just the disease. You had political and religious upheaval going on, and people turned to not so much scapegoats, but looking for an explanation of what happened. And, like anything else going viral, and that was their version of going viral, what happens? Well, if it bleeds, it leads. And it's a much sexier story that one neighbor's going to go, let me tell you what's happening. It's vampires, vampires. What else do you say? You certainly don't know about the disease. You don't know the connection, but you blame these weird, in this case, symptoms of these couple diseases. And they didn't know they were connected, by the way. It's not like they knew what was actually causing this. All they did was see the symptoms, and guess what? All of a sudden, you've got some supernatural force out there, vampires. That was fascinating. God, handle history. I love this stuff. Coming up, Foodie Friday. Neil is here with the Fork Report, or he is the Fork Reporting. The Fork Report is heard tomorrow from 2 to 5 p.m. Let's check in with Chris Little in the KFI News Center.
I'm starving.
Food. Glorious food.
Do you know how to cook, or do you just know how to put trash in the oven and then put it on a plate?
It's Foodie Friday with Neil Saavedra on The Bill Handel Show.
KFI AM 640. Bill Handel here in the morning crew. As we finish the show, last half hour on a Friday with Neil Saavedra, Foodie Friday. We are streaming this live on Instagram, as we always do. And Wayne over there is taking up his phone, and he's, there we go, the wave, and my normal internet greeting, because we are not controlled by the FCC when we do internet stuff.
What the hell are you doing right now?
I'm doing stuff that I can't
narrating
do on the
stupidity?
Air. Yeah.
Why are you talking to the people there and not to the people that are listening right here?
Because we start with Instagram.
Why don't you do
and
that
then
before
I go,
we come on
and
the
then
air?
That's a good point. And I don't know the answer.
You can't put on Instagram the stuff you guys talk about before you come on the air.
It's a good point.
When did he get so moody?
I don't know.
Wayne's always been the sensible one.
Yeah, I don't know. Some of the stories that we're carrying, by the way, is the Dodgers win. I keep on saying that every break because that's such big news.
So you think someone missed that last night?
Someone
in the Southland didn't know?
I didn't know. I couldn't find the station that they were on. I looked in the... And,
was it TBS or something? Or was it... What? Yeah, it's TBS.
And what is that? And by the way, I still don't know what that is on DirecTV, what channel that is. Someone's got to tell me because, well, during when we start the playoffs... And Bill Clinton is in the hospital at UC Irvine Medical Center. He's in the intensive care unit because he had a urinary tract infection that then turned into sepsis.
And how does one get a urinary tract infection?
You just get it. They develop a bit of bacteria or whatever. I had one.
It's not due to sex with someone filthy?
I don't think so. You can get them. And then I didn't know this, but Bill Clinton, after his quadruple bypass a few years ago, he became a vegan.
Yeah, he
Clinton
had to.
Is a vegan.
Yeah.
And which is, and remember, he had a reputation for going to McDonald's and eating three Big Macs while he was pregnant.
Pasty white thighs when he would go running.
Yeah. All right. It's Foodie Friday with Neil Saavedra. You know what? You have so many topics here, Neil. I'm going to let you take it, the topics that you want to talk about.
You got it, buddy. Let's start with the immunity. Your immune system,
yes.
Something that is near and dear to my heart after getting a kidney transplant.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Yeah. You know, what's funny is they put in a new kidney. In my case, it came from a lovely woman named Julie.
It's actually a used kidney. You can't buy new kidneys.
Well, it's new to me.
Okay.
Yeah,
fine.
Like a used car.
Previous,
it's not a new car.
Right.
It's new to me.
Right. It's a previously used
And her
kidney.
Husband, Greg, to his chagrin, every time I see him, I go, your wife is inside me.
sort of reverse. You know,
well, it would be bad if it was reversed.
Yeah.
Yeah, they give you pills to kind of boost it for a while, and then they mellow it out, and you try and be as have as much immunity as you can, but also not reject the kidney, right?
Yeah,
so I've gone through a lot of this stuff.
But that's real stuff.
That's real
medicine.
So what's interesting is that because of the pandemic, you remember when you would read natural or healthy or these types of things on packaging.
That was all crap.
Now it's immune boosting.
I don't.
So let me tell you, I'm going to make this as simple as possible. Crap food with vitamin C in it or zinc is not immune boosting. Now, a lot of there is some medical evidence that vitamin C and zinc can help fight colds, although some people.
No, it's, I mean, study. There, this is real science produced that. Yeah,
yes, there is some argumentation as to how it's used and its
dosage.
Efficacy and all that stuff. However, just because you start putting those things in, you know, it's like calcium enriched. Okay, fine. But so you've got, marketers launched 383 foods and beverages with immune health claims on them in the first half of this year. Now, last year was around 325, something like that. So when you look that more and more these claims are coming out, just remember there are whole foods. There are a list of great foods, including bell peppers, citrus, ginger, spinach, yogurt, almonds, sunflower seeds, all kinds of natural foods or low processed foods that have wonderful amounts of
vitamin C, zinc, whatever,
like that. So don't just go for the marketing and the fact that, hey, this has, you know, it's only 98% sugar in this drink, but it also has immune boosters. So that's the big catchphrase.
Yeah, I've always wondered why you can't get away with this stuff in Europe, by the way. It's considered all fraud unless you've been able to prove it with double-blind, peer-reviewed double-blind studies. Today you couldn't sell aspirin without a peer-reviewed double-blind study and the claims that you make with aspirin because it was grandfathered in. But it's the sale of supplements is what it is on food packaging this is what it'll do. It'll boost immune. It'll help you fight off colds.
We should really take the supplement category out of the United States. We should get to the place where it's controlled.
Yeah, well, that will never happen.
Because it's asinine what some of these claims are.
That will never happen.
You know how many sponsors have come to me for things, and I don't do supplements?
Oh, they've been asking me for 30 years to do supplements.
I don't do supplements. One time during the Tim and Neil show, they came to us for something. I brought it to my doctor. And he looked at it. He read the ingredients. He goes, this is basically, it will do the exact same thing as water.
Yeah.
And since then, I think most often when you take vitamins, unless they're prescribed by your doctor, I think they give you expensive urine.
Yeah. And different colors.
Yeah. Deeper. Those deeper golden hues that you can only get by taking vitamins. So unless they're prescribed, I think most of that stuff is not very helpful. So keep that in mind. Just because something says, you know, immune boosting doesn't mean it's going to do anything. You can go and you can look up lists and lists of just natural whole foods that have those vitamins in them. Your greens are going to give you some of the best, like spinach, not just for Popeye anymore.
Yeah. And here's how you know that it's basically crap. Because you have a product that's, first of all, sold over the counter. Second of all, the disclaimer at the bottom, this is not FDA approved. All the claims here, it's not intended to either diagnose or to cure or to deal with whatever diseases. It's disclaimer after disclaimer after disclaimer. When you see real drugs being advertised, they don't say this is not FDA approved. They do not say this does not cure or help this disease. The point is it does, and it's FDA approved, the real pill, real medication.
You know what's funny is having a four-year-old now is when there's something on the TV advertisement, a toy, they animate it to do flips and all these things. And then there's a small crawl at the bottom. This toy does not move. This is an animation. Because the kid's going to get it and go, this is crap. It doesn't do flips.
By the way, does Max understand that what's on TV and reality are not the same yet?
Oh, yeah. He's very into, because he likes to be scared, but he also is like, I know that's not real. It's really kind of strange.
It's cool.
But yes, he does understand.
All right, let's take a break, and then we'll come back and finish up Foodie Friday with Neil. Tomorrow, 2 to 5 p.m., his social is at Fork Reporter, and we'll be right back. This is KFI, and there's Chris Little. KFI AM 640. Bill Handel here on a Friday morning, October 15th, as we finish the week show with Foodie Friday. Neil Saavedra heard tomorrow, 2 to 5 o'clock on the Fork Report, 2 to 5 o'clock p.m.
By the way, I'm my first live broadcast since Pastathon of 2019 is tomorrow.
Oh, where is it?
I will be out at Morongo.
Oh, okay.
And
that's cool.
And it costs nothing. It's Conway's birthday, which is ticketed, and you have to have a ticket for that. I will just be doing my show on the casino floor. You can come by and say hi if you're so inclined, if you're in the area. I'll be trying a lot of their food there at their restaurants. Wahlburgers is there, and I've never tried Wahlburgers. I'm excited about that. Plus, Good Times Cafe. I'm a huge fan of their pizza and their pizza oven there. And all the folks at work. So I'll be there and having a good time prior to Conway's event at 6:30 in the evening.
He starts. So there's no broadcast of Conway's event.
No.
It's just a birthday party.
Yeah, it's his birthday party. That is ticketed. You have to have a ticket for that. Hey, you do not have to have a ticket to come say hi to me.
I've always wondered, and this is one of those things I really admire about Conway, is I've never been able to charge people that come to my birthday parties. For some reason, I just can't get away with it.
You've never been able to get people to come to your birthday party.
That's a very good point.
So really, it's kind of, people want to see Conway.
That's true.
Yeah.
I've been to a couple of those. They're great fun.
They're always great fun. And he is incredibly gracious and spends time with everybody. And
he does.
It's always a good time. If you don't have tickets.
By the way, how much are the tickets?
I don't think they sold them. I think you had to win them.
Oh, I see.
But they were limited.
Okay.
No, I don't think he's charging people
to
come. But Morongo always puts out a great spread, and there's cocktails and all kinds of good
stuff. I've just taken away his Jew card.
I don't think Conway, Irish Catholic, I think he's fine.
So let's move on with Foodie Friday.
We were talking about food that has the claims immunity boosting, and you're like, that would never fly in Europe. Let me tell you just how correct you are. Listen to this story. So there's a British bakery called Get Baked Bakery in Leeds, England. He was visited by a representative from the country's Trading Standards Agency. He was reported to be using illegal sprinkles.
That's hilarious. Okay,
but listen, it gets better. All his cakes are called Bruce, but there's a version called Birthday Bruce. It's signature cake. He's also got raspberry glazed donuts, and they're the best selling in his shop, these things. And they have sprinkles on it, but they're made in the USA, and they're illegal in the UK.
Is that protection of the UK sprinkles company?
Because they use E127 food coloring.
Ah,
and that's illegal in the UK, other than in cherries and candied cherries. I think they're allowed to use it. So this guy got popped. His best-selling items have illegal American sprinkles on them. And now he's got to find a way to be able to do it. They're probably not going to be as attractive.
I wonder, they may not even have sprinkles in Europe. You go to France, for example, you cannot, you go to England, you cannot find cheddar cheese the way we do cheddar cheese. It doesn't exist in the country. The yellow.
What about American? They're all, that is not cheese. And
that's
it will
true.
Never,
no,
ever.
But it's fascinating how certain countries don't have various items.
Oh, and you will have, you know, you will have cheeses that are unpasteurized, where we don't have that here in the United States.
You know that when I went to, this was several years ago, I took my kids to France and we were in Paris and went to a restaurant. This food is expensive there. So we went to a brasserie and that fish, the steak, right around $35 for an entree. A cheeseburger was $35. And I asked the owner, how does a cheeseburger become $35? He goes, well, first of all, the cheddar cheese is nowhere in Europe. They have to bring it in from the United States the way they do cheddar cheese. There is one bakery that in Paris that does hamburger buns, one. And they charge a fortune. No one eats hamburger buns in France.
Well, then why do they serve it?
Because enough Americans come to those places where they want a cheeseburger. So my kids ate. And then ground beef. They're not big on ground beef over there either.
We have tartare.
Yeah.
Uh-huh, we have tartare.
Anyway.
You want us to cook the tartare? Yeah, make it into a patty.
No, we won't do it.
Yeah, it is. But when you think about that a lot of these things made their way here from other places, ours are modified versions. Not, you can't find orange chicken in China either.
That's true.
You know, a lot of this garbage was made here.
Yeah.
Modified.
There was one Mexican restaurant in London that some friends took me to. Matter of fact, my goddaughter, Jenny Lee's parents. So we went to a Mexican restaurant. There's one in London. It was insanely expensive and it was crap.
Yeah.
They brought in tortillas, of course, from the United States. And it was some of the worst Mexican food. You don't go to London for Mexican food.
You can't. You know, right now, this is wonderful because in Los Angeles, in the Southland and beyond, more and more restaurants are making their tortillas handmade, not just the corn, but the flour.
Here.
Oh, yeah.
Here.
And one of my favorites, Sonora Town downtown, is phenomenal. Their food is phenomenal. Small menu. If you ever get a chance to go to Sonora Town, they also deliver in the Southland or in Los Angeles, rather. Phenomenal food.
Right.
Excellent people, but minimal menu. They couldn't deep fry their chimichangas, so they grill them. And they're just...
Oh, interesting.
But the tortillas are almost translucent because they have the ratio of fat. And more you're finding this...
Even chains. Remember Chevy's, and I don't know if they're around anymore. They had the big tortilla machine where they made them.
Yeah, they're. I grew up. My mother made homemade tortillas, and I've spent the majority of my adult life trying to find one that mimics it. And these new homemade tortillas are great. And my buddy Gustavo Arellano from LA Times every year does a bracket of the best tortillas, and Sonora, I think, comes out on top every year.
We're done. Tomorrow, 2 to 5 p.m., it is the Fork Report with Neil at Fork Reporter. I'm on tomorrow right after Dean Sharp. He's here at 6 to 8 in the morning. I'm on 8 to 11 with Handle on the Law. If you are in a car accident and you are injured, where do you go? HandleOnTheLaw.com. Cheesy plug. Thank you very much. And free. I don't even pay for it. HandleOnTheLaw.com.
The glee in which you say that. I thought you were going to say, go to Dean Sharp. He'll fix you right up.
Yeah,
he's
for
got
sure.
The power tools. Put that leg back together.
This is KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.